Whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, a liberal or a conservative, we should all be ashamed of where politics in this country has taken us. The last example of swamp rot involves aging Democrat Senator Dianne Feinstein of California. Feinstein and Democrats on the Senate committee grilled Trump's nominee for the Supreme Court, Judge Brett Kavanaugh, for days. They threw every speculation at the man. But they did not succeed in damaging this good and decent man. Frustrated and desperate to keep a conservative off of the court, Democrats leaned on Feinstein to release an anonymous letter that she had sat on for a couple of months. That letter is supposedly from a woman who says that Brett Kavanaugh tried to force himself on her nearly 36 years ago when both were teenagers in high school. Feinstein and the other Democrats had the opportunity to question the judge about this anonymous letter claim while Kavanaugh was there to defend himself. Not one of them even mentioned it. Feinstein herself met privately with the judge to question him, but never brought up that subject. According to Feinstein, the writer wanted to stay anonymous and not press the subject forward. Still, with Democrats urging a liberal woman professor in California named Blasey Ford to come forward, she is coming forward, and she is, hold your breath, a registered Democrat and liberal professor. Moreover, she is represented by a far-left registered Democrat lawyer, a woman who specializes in these seedy accusations, not unlike Gloria Allred. Politicians have pulled dirty tricks for decades, but never this dirty in my mind. Judge Kavanaugh has been in the public eye for decades. He's been investigated 8 times as his career grew. By this underhanded tactic by Feinstein, the judge's wife and children have to suffer the humiliation Democrats hope will be visited upon him. It wasn't enough that the Democrats questioning the judge used tactics so low and so dirty were they that the judge's children had to be led from the courtroom. This accuser was silent when Kavanaugh clerked at the Supreme Court, silent when he was a White House attorney, and still silent as Kavanaugh became a U.S. Circuit Judge in 2006, a process that brought with it a lengthy and controversial Senate confirmation. But now, on the eve of Senate confirmation of Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court, this woman accuses him of groping her one night when they were in high school. Apparently, there was another boy involved, but she is not after him, just the Supreme Court nominee that the Democrat Party and liberals want to stop. Judge Kavanaugh has vehemently denied this unfounded accusation, and other women in school with him have come to his defense. So has another man who was a teen at the time and was supposedly in on the caper. What kind of person waits more than 35 years to come forward about something so serious, and then only days before the Senate committee is to vote for confirmation? What kind of politician would grab onto an anonymous claim by somebody who can't show any proof of the accusation and release it to the press as Feinstein did? Dirty Democrats are desperate to keep conservative judges off of the Supreme Court, so that their liberal minions, like Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Sonia Mayor, can legislate from the bench, and they will do anything or say anything. This latest Hail Mary tactic is designed to confuse the public and stall the nomination of Judge Kavanaugh, hopefully after the midterm elections. That's when they want to bring it up. They hope to win those elections and control the House and block the nomination. The driving force behind the Democrat Party's desperation is Roe versus Wade. Democrats are petrified that this law, allowing the wholesale slaughter of unborn children, might be overturned. But Judge Kavanaugh has given no indication that he would vote to overturn Roe versus Wade. That's not enough for Democrats. They want him to say that he would not vote to overturn it, even before he has heard the arguments for and against in the case. Kavanaugh cannot do that, and they know it, but they continue to play to the TV cameras like trained seals. I would have said trained monkeys, but they'd call me a racist. Democrats know that Brett Kavanaugh will be confirmed, and he will take his seat on the Supreme Court bench. But they continue to try and humiliate the man and strike at Donald Trump. The humiliation belongs to Dianne Feinstein and her posse of frustrated Democrats, and upon a liberal Democrat college professor who says that as a teenager, Brett Kavanaugh tried to take advantage of her. Even if that were true, and there are many people disputing it, how many people would be disqualified from higher office if they were held responsible for overzealousness as a high school teenager? Will Democrats now search for somebody who played doctor when they were 5 years old and try to destroy them? Democrats should be ashamed of themselves for this latest accusation just days before a vote. It reminds us of when they trotted out a porn actress to claim a one-night romp with Donald Trump more than 10 years before the man ran for president. The Democrat Party core is rotten from top to bottom and completely void of conscience. The Constitution does not call for Senate hearings on Supreme Court nominations. There is no need for a media circus each time there's an opening on the court. The Constitution only calls for the advice and consent of the Senate. When this current circus ends and the animals have been cleaned up after, we should demand that televised Senate hearings on Supreme Court nominees be ended. Each senator on that committee has an ample opportunity to question the nominee on their own, and many of them did. That means many Republicans took that opportunity. Only a few Democrats bothered to even meet with the nominee. The whole point of these televised hearings is to attempt to sway public opinion with lies and innuendos. That's true of Democrats when a conservative is the nominee, and true of Republicans when the nominee is a flaming liberal. We do not need this useless grandstanding. After all, Democratic attempts to delay it, to interrupt it, to grandstand, and even Spartacus their way out of replacing Judge Anthony Kennedy with a conservative jurist, was unsuccessful. So, why not pull out the old classic Anita Hill tactic used against Clarence Thomas? Judge Kavanaugh's accuser has a far-left lawyer who thinks people who work for Trump are miscreants. She has an axe to grind. So, why not latch on to a Democrat college professor who suddenly feels the need, after 35 years of silence, to join with other Democrats who are desperate to kill the Kavanaugh appointment and assure the abortion deaths of millions more unborn children. These people are sick, and there is no cure for what ails them. Now, Democrats are so desperate that they have put Barack Hussein Obama out front to rally the left wing. Obama no longer has a law license, and his wife lost hers for extortion. Still, they have been put out front by Democrats to teach us about ethics. Now the Democrats, mainstream fake news media, and liberals want to give credit to Obama for the booming economy. That is as laughable as it is deceitful. Democrats could not trot out Bill Clinton because he carries more baggage than a Pullman train. Clinton and his wife, Hillary, both lost their law licenses as well. The markets and the economy under Obama were stifled by unnecessary regulations, unfair trade deals, and the lack of energy and support from Washington. Obama's Iranian-born Muslim puppet master, Valerie Jarrett, was his chief advisor. He would have been better to rely on Yogi Bear. Yogi has far less vengeful attitude. Notice that while Obama was president, the news was full of Valerie Jarrett. Now that their scandals have begun to be revealed, Jarrett has gone underground and become as quiet as a mouse. When Barack Hussein Obama was elected president on November 4, 2008, the Dow Jones average sat at 9,625. Over the next 4 months, the Dow steadily tanked to an all-time low amount under the Obama administration of 6,547. That happened on March 9th of 2009. That was a decrease in the Dow of nearly a third, or 32%. It could have gotten much worse. I'll give you reasons why the 2017 record stock market rally is due to President Trump's actions and why it is continuing in 2018. President Trump's marketing and leadership skills may be the single most important factor pushing the economy and the stock market to record heights. Civilian Trump was a billionaire, a builder, and a promoter. He prided himself in deal-making, and his presence led him to have one of the most popular shows on television, The Apprentice. In nearly every single speech or rally he has held, he promotes success, making America great again, winning, and prosperity. This repetition and promotion has led to consumer confidence reaching an 18-year high. To say that the economy was on a roll before the 2016 election is simply not true. The stock market decreased in value in 2015, and there were no new all-time highs in Obama's entire first term. Obama's economy incurred unemployment as high as 10%. Obama's presidency was the first ever to not reach an annual GDP of at least 3% in not 1 year of his two terms. His failed policies doubled the U.S. debt to nearly $20 trillion, and the massive increase in regulations stifled the economy's growth. Not only that, but Obama had no idea how to lead America back to greatness. His words and actions actually portrayed someone who did not want America to win. Clearly, this past year's record stock market increase is not due to the prior president, whose America Last policies led to the destruction of the middle class and the stagnation of the American economy. One of the first things that President Trump did in office was to reduce the number of burdensome regulations put into place by rabid liberals in the Obama era. In January, President Trump signed his 2-for-1 executive order, mandating that for every new regulation, 2 useless regulations must be revoked. Excessive regulations cost Americans and American companies money to implement and to maintain. Reducing or halting regulations allows companies to spend their money on more prudent money-making areas. Former President Barack Hussein Obama could not see a revival of the American economy when he left office. Suddenly, he wants us to believe that the revival was because of him. Obama said before the election that jobs are just not coming back to the United States. He mocked candidate Trump for suggesting that jobs would come back to the U.S. and asked what magic wand Trump had to back up his vision. Obama said that a 2.5 GDP was no longer attainable and that America had to get used to 1%. GDP as the new normal. Well, that new GDP has now grown to 4.2% under Trump. Clearly, Barack Hussein Obama never suspected that our economy would rebound and said so repeatedly as he mocked candidate Trump. Thankfully, Donald Trump did not listen to Obama. He went out immediately after winning the election and began speaking to business leaders across many industries. He encouraged them to bring these jobs back to the United States, and company after company announced plans to build again in the U.S. More than 1.5 million jobs were created in 2017. One of the first actions that President Trump took was to sign an executive order that formally withdrew the United States from the Trans-Pacific Partnership trade deal. Even union leaders applauded that move. That withdrawal put Capitol Hill and foreign governments on notice that this president would demand better deals on a one-on-one basis. And that shook up the establishment in Washington, who so admired the status quo. But President Trump has already made a better deal with Mexico, and he's in negotiations with Canada, China, and others. Coal miners praised President Trump for his actions that ended unnecessary regulations that prevented coal from being mined in the United States. The coal industry is now being revived. This clean coal industry employs many workers at good-paying jobs. Most of those miners had no other skills to provide for their families. They'd done this all of their lives and their daddies before them. President Trump promised those miners jobs again, and he kept that promise. The coal industry was almost destroyed by Obama, and Hillary Clinton had promised to kill it completely. Thankfully, average, ordinary Americans rose up en masse to kill Hillary's presidential ambition and save those coal mining jobs. Another of President Trump's first actions was to allow the building of the Keystone and Dakota pipelines. These projects had been rejected by the Obama administration on the grounds that the pipelines were ecologically unfriendly. But the more likely reason for that denial was that would help America become more energy independent, something the donors to Washington elites do not want. By approving the pipelines, thousands of good-paying jobs were created, and the United States is one step closer to energy independence. President Trump's actions mean that the United States is now the net exporter of natural gas for the first time in 60 years. Energy independence means more jobs, more income, and tax revenue for the United States, and less money going to rogue oil-producing countries that wish to destroy us. In his first international trip, President Trump traveled to the Middle East and in front of the leaders of 50 Muslim countries told them that they must drive out Islamic terrorism. Remember that on his trips to the Middle East, Barack Hussein Obama bowed to these Muslim leaders and said that if the political winds shifted, he would stand with Islam and not the United States. If that is not an admission of a Muslim follower, what is it? Obama put Islam first. Trump puts America first. President Trump then traveled to Asia on another successful trip. In addition to meeting with leaders across the region, the president announced another huge win for the United States. China signed a memorandum of understanding that was reported in China, but not publicized by the highly partisan fake news media in the United States, who have remained silent on nearly all of President Trump's successes. China's Energy Investment Corporation, the world's largest power company by asset value, signed a memorandum of understanding to invest $83.7 billion in shale gas, power, and chemical projects in West Virginia. This agreement was the biggest among a slew of deals signed during President Trump's state visit to Beijing. The total value of the deals done during Trump's trip could reach $250 billion. How much of that did you hear about from the biased mainstream media? That deal alone will help one of the most impoverished regions in America, and many, even in West Virginia, didn't know about it because the mainstream media wouldn't tell them. Certainly, one of the major reasons for the stock market is soaring is because Hillary Clinton is not president. Hillary's campaign promises were for more of the same, and the same was not working. America dodged a bullet in the 2016 election, and the markets have responded with a huge rally. She lost, and America won. Liberals, Democrats, and the never-Trumpers will continue to try and tell you that President Trump has nothing to do with the stock market rally America is enjoying now. They want Obama to have the credit. But Obama himself told us that a 2.5% GDP was no longer attainable. He said, we've got to accept a 1% GDP as our new normal. Trump has produced 4.2% GDP, and he did it without a magic wand. He simply used the business sense that Americans elected him for. Barack Hussein Obama should be ashamed to take credit for this growing economy. He said the economy was pretty much dead. Trump has revived it. Before I leave this subject today, I want to remind you of what options the Democrat Party has offered us. Critics can rail all day about Trump's demeanor. I readily admit that he can be brash, sometimes petty, and that he has a habit of patting himself on the back, but if he doesn't, who's going to? The mainstream media and liberals thought that Muhammad Ali walked on water. Nobody has ever patted themselves on the back more than Ali. He may have been the greatest boxer, and he told us so repeatedly. But Muhammad Ali was a liberal and a Muslim. Trump is a conservative and a Christian. One got appreciation, the latter gets the full wrath of a fake news media. If you faced a major operation tomorrow, does it matter more that your surgeon is the best in the world or that he is not brash or petty and doesn't pat himself on the back? To me, that's a no-brainer. If Democrats in the mainstream media had had their way, one of the most dishonest, deceitful, lying politicians of all time, Hillary Clinton, would now be president. That was the option Democrats gave us, and they act surprised that we wouldn't accept that option. Today, they're offering us people like an aging socialist, Bernie Sanders, a raging racist like Cory Booker, and a smirking senator from Hawaii named Kamala Harris. Laugh a minute, Joe Biden is on the Democrat bench, along with New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, who said recently that America was never that great. Democrats have Elizabeth Warren in their lineup, a woman who is so far left that her right arm is useless, a woman who claimed to be part Indian in order to take a college job at Harvard away from another applicant who could not claim minority status. To date, Warren has resisted calls to prove her Indian heritage. I see Elizabeth Warren to be as much of an Indian as the white men who played Geronimo in the movies. We could go on with Democrats like Nancy Pelosi, a woman whose quotes make her look like a fool, and Chuck Schumer, who lies to us, saying Democrats don't want to impeach Trump, and then appears on camera in front of a crowd to say impeaching him is sooner rather than later. The cast of Democrat characters are as goofy as a Disney cartoon. Forget Trump for a moment. Look at the options that Democrats offer. I told you earlier that Americans have a short attention span. Less than 2 years ago, our country ridded itself of Barack Hussein Obama, and our economy was in the tank. Foreign leaders watched Obama draw a line in the sand in Syria and then cowardly back away when Assad called his bluff. Foreign countries headlined Obama's comments as he traveled the world apologizing for America. That was your fathers and grandfathers that Obama was apologizing for. In a world where the audience he was speaking to on those trips have horrible human rights abuses and seek to destroy us, Obama apologizes for America. I have said often that Donald Trump can be rude, crude, and perplexing. The man is not a politician with years of training to mislead and dodge questions. He's a hard-nosed businessman who became a billionaire by getting things done quicker than the competition at lower cost and on or before deadlines. He has done that for us as president. Unfortunately, he does shoot himself in the foot when he sends out tweets that are rude and sometimes childish. Democrats seize on those tweets to help the fake news media portray the president as incompetent. But what Trump has accomplished in less than 2 years is nothing short of miraculous. The intense hate directed at him by Democrats, liberals, and the phony media is unprecedented in history. When Hillary Clinton lost to Trump in 2016, Democrats and their fake news allies immediately began a hate campaign against Trump, a steady drumbeat, day in, day out, to turn the American people against this president. Given our short attention spans, this nasty tactic has worked. The Americans who hate Trump do so because they were indoctrinated by CNN, MSNBC, the three major networks and major newspapers like The Times in New York and The Washington Post, and here locally, the Raleigh News and Observer. Ask a Trump hater why they hate Trump, and they can't give you an in-depth answer. They simply repeat what they were told by CNN and the fake news media. Take off the rose-colored glasses and think for yourself. It is not a president's demeanor that keeps our country moving forward. It is the results they obtain. And no rational person can argue with the incredible results that President Trump has given us. You have been duped, taken for a fool by a media that's colluding with devious Democrats like Pelosi and Schumer. Two power-hungry politicians with fewer scruples than Ebenezer Scrooge. They would reverse all of the gains made by President Trump. Finally, today, like many of you, I have been confined at home by the hurricane and had a few days to think and ponder. As I approach my 76th birthday on the 29th of this month, I look back on the changes in our country over that time, some good, some not so good. The Internet offers great opportunities but brings with it great problems. Technology has grown beyond our fondest dreams and fears. As a child, I marveled at Dick Tracy's wristwatch, which predicted the future. Today, that wristwatch is relegated to the past. I do lament the parental guidance that kids from my generation took for granted. We didn't spend all of our time on video games or iPhones. We knew our neighbors and we socialized with them. Not so today, for the most part. I knew my cousins and relished seeing them at family reunions. Today, I would not know most of them if they walked past me on the street. And family reunions died when our elders passed away. Politics has sunk into the gutter. Truth is disregarded if a lie can result in the means to an end. Anonymous sources are used to attack political opponents, and the fake news media is happy to support those attacks without any proof of an allegation. A major newspaper last week ran a headline that suggested that UN Ambassador Nikki Haley had spent over $52,000 for curtains in her UN office. Many people only read the headlines. Deep in the story, we find that the expensive curtains were not bought by the Trump administration, but by the Obama administration. The paper ran a small piece about their bias deep in the paper. Their headline had captured attention and done the trick for them. Fortunately, their subterfuge was caught and the paper had to backtrack. I watch all that goes on around me, and I see the immorality in our world and in our country. I see blatant lies accepted as truth by a mainstream media entrusted with giving us truth and facts, not fiction. I see our young people falling victim to indoctrination in schools and colleges, and watch as they would lead our country to socialism behind a socialist communist like Bernie Sanders. I am left then to wonder how long God will continue to allow humanity to destroy what he created. I cannot speak for others, but when I watch all of the degradation in our world, the only thing that keeps me sane is a firm belief in God. Were he not there, had Jesus not sacrificed for me so that I could come to God in prayer, I would be like atheists, completely adrift, with no anchor in my life. I've always been a Christian, but it took me many years to step up and speak out about my faith, mostly because there are those who mock those of us who believe in God, and so we stay silent to avoid their criticism. Perhaps because I am approaching 76 years of age and the twilight of my life, I have come to realize that life is short, and our time to carry the banner of God and relish our connection to Jesus Christ is fleeting. Just a few random thoughts today as the winds calm down and the water subsides and life goes on.